In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As Jesus entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers. Now already, most of you know exactly what's coming. Even Sunday school dropouts likely remember this story. We know very well how leprosy is a debilitating and contagious disease of the skin. We know that whenever Jesus encounters diseased people, there's a fairly good chance that he will heal them. And we know that only one guy does the right thing here and says thank you to Jesus. And knowing all those things, we can be tempted to tune out because we figure we've got this one down. So in order to avoid that, let's come at the narrative this way. What if the lepers had just kept quiet? You have to admit that this entire account would be vastly different if the lepers had not voiced their collective cry for mercy. What if that day they were just too depressed to pray? What if they figured that Jesus already knew what they needed anyway, so why go to the trouble of spelling it out? What difference would it make? What if they didn't think that Jesus would listen to their prayer or even acknowledge them? They were unclean and quarantined outcasts, after all. Now, safe to say, if the lepers had not voiced their prayer for mercy and called on the name of the Lord, there would have been no healing, no cleansing, and no praise or thanksgiving. So this account teaches us, first of all, then, the importance of prayer and calling on the name of the Lord, who alone has the power to help. It's really unthinkable that those desperate lepers might have kept quiet here. And yet we have to admit, sometimes do this. We fail to pray. We refuse to lift up our voices to the Lord Jesus and simply call to him in our time of need. I don't think it's unfair to say that we Christians often spend more time talking about prayer or saying that we're going to pray for someone than we spend actually praying. So let me emphasize to you again that while prayer is indeed a gift and a privilege, it is also a commandment of God. Martin Luther, in the Large Catechism, talking about the Second Commandment, reminds us that God requires us to pray. He hasn't left it as an optional thing. Prayer is our duty and obligation. If you aren't praying daily, if you have no time scheduled or set aside to speak to God, then you are failing to do one of the most fundamental duties of the Christian life. But so that you might not fail to pray, and so that you might in fact be encouraged and drawn into a life of prayer, God gives us the 10 lepers to lead us. And they lead us particularly in this prayer: Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know, this prayer of the lepers really is something of a surprise. They don't specifically ask to be cured of their leprosy. They don't specifically ask for healing, but for mercy. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. That's the kind of thing that you pray when you know that you are helpless and powerless. Lord, have mercy. It's what we pray here in this place at every single service. Now, we may pray those words thoughtlessly at times, but there was nothing thoughtless about this prayer that was shouted from the cracked lips of lepers. When you pray, Lord, have mercy, you're asking, you're begging for God's help. But like the lepers, you are then also leaving the details of your deliverance in God's hands. You're leaving the specifics up to the Lord. You're trusting him for help, but you're leaving the methods and the timing in his hands. So when you pray, Lord, have mercy, remember, that's no insignificant request. For when you say those words, you are aligning yourself and standing next to and with the 10 lepers, helpless and festering with sin and its effects. And the good news we should take from today's gospel is that Jesus will not ignore this prayer. When Jesus heard the lepers' prayer, he gave attention to it and spoke back only one statement to the 10: go and show yourselves to the priests. Now, on the surface, that doesn't sound like much. Notice that there was no explicit healing from Jesus, no fear not, no guarantees. Jesus just gives them an implicit promise hidden beneath the words, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." In the book of Leviticus, it says that you're supposed to show yourselves to the priest after you have been cleansed from your leprosy. The priest would then verify your healing and offer a sacrifice to God to mark the occasion, and then you're officially let back into society. Jesus' words then would make perfectly good sense for someone who had already been cleansed of their leprosy, except that these 10 men had not yet been cleansed of their leprosy. Their skin was still infected. They were still outcasts. Nothing had changed. The only real difference, and this of course is the key thing, was that now sounding in their ears were the words of Jesus, words that had healing implicit within them. And it's just at this point that Luke then takes us and draws attention to the heart of the miracle. It is written, "And as they went, they were cleansed." As they went, they were cleansed. If I had been one of those lepers, I think I might have needed to see at least some evidence of healing before I set off. Seeing is believing, the saying goes. We, though, normally want tangible proof, but not these blessed lepers. All they had were the words of Jesus, and they were good to go. And as they went, trusting in those words, they were healed. Now, this really is the perfect illustration of the Christian life. We are just like the lepers. We are helpless and hopeless and so sick with sin and all of those works of the flesh we heard about in Galatians that it's killing us and cutting us off from those we love. Our situation is dire and desperate. But then a loving Savior passes our way, right here in this place, in fact. And all we can do, we can't do much of anything except lift up our voices and pray the prayer of these desperate lepers, "Kyrie eleison," "Lord, have mercy." And that loving Savior then puts his words into your ears. And he declares to you things that you can't necessarily see yet. "I forgive you all your sins. By my wounds, you are healed. I have called you by name. You are mine. I will never leave you or forsake you." And you are called to believe that it's true, even without the tangible evidence and the experiential proof that you might like to have. He says, basically, "Go, show yourselves to the priests. Confess your sins. Receive my sacrificial body and blood for your forgiveness and your cleansing." And then he also says, "Go and love me above all other things in your life. Go from here and serve your neighbor. Lay down your life for them. Go and love your spouse. Honor your parents. Go and forgive those who sin against you. Go and pray without ceasing. Go and take up your cross and follow me." And as you walk that path that the Lord has laid out for you, as you cling to his promises, Jesus does give healing and cleansing. A long life's way, as you just put one foot in front of the other, just keep going, Jesus provides you the help and the strength and the mercy that you so desperately need. As you follow his words, you begin to see, you get glimpses of how he is working for you and in you to save you. So the question is then, will you go? Which is simply to say, do you trust Jesus? Will you walk with the lepers and journey in faith, even though you have no evidence yet visibly of deliverance, and even though your life is still infected with sin? Will you go? Will you walk by the Spirit with confidence and faith, expecting and believing that Jesus will fulfill every promise, even though right now at the moment things may look grim for you? See, your Lord knows what it's like when things look grim. His own journey, of course, we know led to death by crucifixion. He himself was on his way to Jerusalem, and there he would be sacrificed as your substitute. The one who laid down his life for you is the same one who is with you to carry you through this life in faith, all the way to the life of the world to come. Now, if those lepers had decided not to go, if they had just stayed stuck in their despair, if they had decided to do this, the safe thing, and stay put, This story, of course, would have ended far differently. The promises were from Jesus. The healing was from Jesus. The miracle was from Jesus. But the Spirit-worked faith of the lepers enabled them to receive that promised healing. As our Master says, your faith has made you well. And this is the same faith that God gave to you way back when you were cleansed at the font. And that baptism is the reason that you can indeed go when your God says, go. That baptism means that you have cleansing and healing from every sin. That baptism means that Jesus' perfect, sinless life counts for you. It means that he has already died your death, so that the life that you live today, you live for him and in him. As they went, they were cleansed. They moved forward in faith, trusting in and following Jesus' words. And today your feet have carried you forward in faith to this place and to this altar. Although maybe I could also say that you've walked backward in faith, just like the Samaritan leper who returned and fell down at Jesus' feet. Here at the Eucharist, which means Thanksgiving, the Lord's Supper, we continually return and come back in faith to give thanks and to glorify God for the healing and the cleansing that he gives in this holy meal. We praise him that by his body and blood we are given the strength to keep going, walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. So hear it again, brothers and sisters in Christ. You are being cleansed. It may be true that your life is messy and complicated, riddled with anxiety and weariness, but don't miss what is happening underneath the surface. You are being cleansed by Jesus. You are being healed. You are being saved and delivered from death. This is how your God operates. He cares for you more than you can know. And no detail of your life is too small or insignificant for him to pay attention to. You are holy and precious to him, as precious as the blood of his Son and as holy as the perfect life of Jesus, your Savior. All of that is why we pray, praise, and give thanks. Your faith has made you well, which is to say, the one whom you trust in, your Jesus, has made you well. And this is why every day we join in the litany of the lepers. Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.